I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 21. John chapter 21. And 2 weeks ago, now last week we had the missionary here, so we had him speak for the Sunday school hour. But 2 weeks ago, I spoke on the topic of forgiveness out of the Gospel of Luke in our Those Things Most Surely Believed series. And if you remember from that message from a couple of weeks ago, I made a couple of points in that message. There's really just two main points in the message with regards to forgiveness. And I took the text that's found in Luke chapter 22 where Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then there's the scene with Peter. He's there, and he denies the Lord, and all the apostles deny the Lord. And then if you were to follow along in the scriptures, you would find that three times then after the Lord's resurrection, the Lord appears unto the apostles. So this is actually the third time that he appears to the apostles after their resurrection in John chapter 21. And in that message, we believe in the power to forgive. Just as Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what we do." The two points were the Lord has empowered all of us to live differently. Okay, when you get saved, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God is the person of the Holy Spirit, teaches us and guides us and directs us. And that's, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen? And so that's that was the gist of that particular point. We're empowered to live differently and beyond human comprehension and beyond human expectation. Those were the two subpoints to that message. But then the second point was that we're empowered to love differently. And that's so key, so vital with regards to forgiving people. Because if you remember also from that message, part of the two subpoints were we're empowered to love differently, and it's beyond human compassion. Because we're told to forgive our enemies. And that's not always easy to do. And the other subpoint, it's beyond human reason. And I gave you two examples in that, or actually it was one example, but two different thoughts, two different illustrations. And if you remember from that Sunday morning, I spoke about a World War II prisoner of war. And Jack Desher was his name, who, if you remember, I'm not going to go through the whole story again, but he was a POW, and he had terrible guards, and he got saved in a POW camp, spent 4 years there before he was released, and learned to love the Japanese people, and then eventually went back to Japan, having forgiven them of their atrocities, and he established, so if I remember correctly, I believe it was 21 churches when he went back. And if you remember, while he was there, he met the man who led the raid on Pearl Harbor, who after the war had been influenced by the daughter, when I say young, she was in her, I think she was a late teenager, 19, 20 years old, whose parents had been missionaries to Japan, fled to the Philippines, and when the Japanese army invaded the Philippines, her parents and 9 other missionaries were captured, and the Japanese beheaded them. And just like this fella Jack, who started the war so angry at the Japanese because of the attack on Pearl Harbor, and who wouldn't be, right? I mean, in fact, the United States government use that as a recruiting tool. It's just natural that you would want to go defend your nation. But through God's grace, he became a lover of the Japanese people and ministered to them. Well, the guy who led the raid the famous words, Torah, 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 he heard this young woman's testimony, and he thought, how in the world could this young woman forgive the Japanese people, my people, he thought, for beheading her parents? But she, in her testimony, knew that her parents would want her to forgive them because they loved the Japanese people. That's why they were there as missionaries. And so I gave you those couple of examples in that message. And forgiveness sometimes can be a very difficult thing, but we have been empowered to live differently, and we have been empowered to love differently. And sometimes we just need to spend a fairly significant amount of time talking to the Lord about people who have hurt us and people who have that we have a hard time forgiving. And you remember, too, I made this comment. Forgiving someone doesn't excuse their behavior or their actions. Amen? Okay, bad actions are wrong, but we can still forgive, just like they forgave the Japanese people. So here now in chapter 21, let's read this text, and I'm going to read down to verse 17. So it's the third time since all that took place. The apostles had denied the Lord. Jesus had gone to the cross. He had been buried. He had risen from the dead. They still, if you remember, in some of the messages that we've preached, even after the third day, before Jesus appeared to them, they're still pretty confused and perplexed by everything that had been taking place. Because again, it goes back to the idea that they really expected that Jesus was going to usher in the messianic dream that Israel would once again be a mighty power and that the Roman armies would be evicted from Israel. And all of this kind of like fell apart. You remember in the Gospels where the apostles said, Lord, when you usher in your kingdom, can I sit at your right hand and I sit at your left hand? Well, that was all part of their thought that the whole idea of Jesus going to the cross and dying and being buried and all of this not coming to fruition. And so we pick it up here now in chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land. But as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish with which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he saith to him again the second time, Simon of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto them, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Let's have a short word of prayer. Lord, bless now our Bible study. Speak to our hearts through your word and by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, again, we saw what happened with the apostles, and here they are. They've left Jerusalem now, and they're at the Sea of Tiberias, which means they've returned home. They've gone back to where it all started. And probably wondering, maybe just disillusioned or discouraged or just disappointed. They had 3 years of all this buildup and all this buildup. And maybe they thought, we're the next ones to be hunted down. And they're still perplexed and they're still trying to figure all of this out. And Jesus is going to present himself to them. And now I want you to think of forgiveness and the ability to forgive on a really personal level. Because sometimes when people hurt us, and they really hurt us deeply, it leaves us very disillusioned. It can leave us very discouraged and very disappointed. Some of you know that feeling. You've experienced that. Maybe all of us at some place, time, or point, we have felt that. We didn't expect things to turn out the way that they did, and because of relationships and because of things, we've been hurt. Deeply wounded. I'll just be open and honest with you as from a pastor's point of view. Now, I was thinking the other day, this really blew my mind. In 2022, I'll have been serving the Lord in this ministry here for 40 years. I didn't think I was that old, Travis. 40 years. That's a long time. Jim Thompson's even a little bit longer. But through the years, there's been numbers of people that I've tried my best to minister to, and they just sometimes they just walk away. And I said this to my wife not too long ago. I said, honey, I don't really care who they are. I don't care if they can offer anything to the ministry or not offer anything to the ministry. I have really tried, by God's grace, to love everyone the same. Not one person differently. And I've tried to preach without fear or favor. But through the years, it hurts when you minister to people. And then they just kind of walk away. And wow. So it's not only in our personal lives, but it could be in, I'll just use this term. I don't like to think of the ministry as a profession. It's a calling. But it could be in your own professional life. It could be in your family life. It could be any number of things. And as a Christian, it can lead, especially when other believers hurt you, it can leave you very disillusioned. But I want you to see here how Jesus deals with the apostles and deals with Peter when this was taking place perhaps in his life. So I noticed this. Look at verses 4 through 6. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast that net, and they were not able to draw for the multitude of the fishes. So here's my first point, and if you want to, there's just three simple points to this message. If you want to write it down, if not, put it in your memory. But I noticed this, that Jesus was reminding Peter of where it all began. He was taking Peter back to where everything began when Peter entered into a personal relationship with Jesus. Because remember, Peter's probably thinking down deep in his heart, you know, I've really hurt the Savior. I denied him 3 times. The apostles, we fled him. We left. At the moment he needed us the most, we deserted him. Sometimes that happens even in our personal lives. But Jesus takes Peter and those apostles that were there, he takes them back to the beginning. And so sometimes it's good for you and I, as we kind of recharge and rebuild our faith, to remember, where did Jesus find you? Where did Jesus speak to your heart? Where did Jesus first come to you and draw your attention? When we were at Lake George this past weekend, my childhood friend, who grew up next door to me, where we camp, as you look out on the lake, there's a point that comes out. And his mom and dad, years ago, they bought a house there. He contacted me about 6 or 7 years ago. He called me here at the church. He had spent most of his adult life in Europe working for the United States government. And he contacted me, and we got together about 6 years ago. And then he went back to Europe. His wife is Malaysian, so he would spend a lot of time in Malaysia as well. But he sent me an email several weeks ago and said he had retired and he was living in Connecticut and would like to get together. So I knew we were going to the camp out, and I knew that his folks had a place up there, and I thought he might be up there. So I sent him a message, told him we were going, and he wasn't going to be, but he decided to go ahead and drive up so that we could spend some time. So we visited for a couple hours on Saturday morning. And then his mom and dad came over. They have a boat. And they came over to the campsite, and we visited a little bit more. But the beginning for him is a remarkable story, and with regards to me. His wife is, from best I can tell, she is a committed Christian. Doug, I'm not sure how committed he is or he isn't, but that's between him and the Lord, amen? But he told me, you know, I'd be able to share my entire testimony with them and how I didn't get saved until I was 24 years old and so on and so forth. But as a teenager, our church that I grew up in had Vacation Bible School, and they did teen Vacation Bible School. It was a fairly large church, but they would ask different people in the church if they could go to their house Monday night at one house, Tuesday night one house, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. And usually it was people with a pool. It was usually in July, and they would have swimming, and they'd have games, and that kind of a thing. Well, we had a pool. My parents invited the church to come over, the VBS team, and I invited Doug to come. The only time he ever came to a church service. Well, he told me. He said he was born again, and he said to me, and I found this story out, because he said to me, and Eric, you were instrumental in that. I hadn't seen him in 40 years or so. I said, what do you mean I was instrumental in that? He said, yeah. And he told the whole story about Vacation Bible School. And he said, yeah. And when the youth pastor gave the message in that service that night at your house, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Wow, you never know, do you? Well, that was 40 years or so ago. And then he went to Europe. He met, his first marriage failed. He met his wife, Lindy. I'm not sure how long they've been married. They went to the church, the military base has a chapel. They would go to chapel on the military base, and so on and so forth. But that was the beginning for him. That's when Jesus met him. Just like Jesus met you somewhere, and Jesus met Peter somewhere. Now, this is interesting because I read through verses 4, 5, and 6, it reminds us that's exactly where Jesus met Peter. We don't have time this morning, but if we went back to Luke chapter 5, that's when Jesus introduces himself to Peter, and you remember they had fished all night long. And what did Jesus say? Did you catch anything? No. Cast out and throw your net on the other side. And it's here it is, 3 years later, but Jesus is bringing him back 3 years. Peter, this is where I met you. This is where my relationship with you began. And this is how it began. And when we get discouraged sometimes, it's good to think back. How did this all take place? And what did God use? Because, you see, usually God uses circumstances and it reminds us just how much Jesus loves us. Just how much he cares. And while you go through times and experiences where you get hurt or people hurt you, you become disillusioned, Jesus knows. That first time when they fished all night, listen, if you were a fisherman and that was your livelihood and you fished all night and you didn't catch anything, you'd be pretty discouraged. But then when Jesus says, go out and throw the net, and they couldn't even pull the net in, it brings them back. It brings them back. When you get disillusioned or you get discouraged or disappointed, someone's hurt you, just remember where it all began and how it all began. Because Jesus is going to use this to get Peter and the apostles back on track. Then let's read on a little bit. Verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter. By the way, what disciple would that be? The disciple that Jesus loved. John. It's not that he didn't love the other disciples, and that's a whole time. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him. He was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship. They were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net of fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid there and bread. I always like that verse because Jesus didn't have to go out in the boat. I don't know how Jesus did this. I don't know if he just created the fish right on the fire, but here they are dragging all these fish in. By the time they get there, Jesus has already got dinner prepared. And that because he's the great provider. And then we go on and he says this. Verse 9, as soon as they were come, they saw the coals. Verse 10, and Jesus saith unto them, bring up the fish which ye have now caught. So Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, and they counted the fish. So many, the Bible says it was broken. Jesus saith unto them, yet the net was not broken. And Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Now just put yourself in that position. Put yourself in that place. There they are. Now Jesus says, this is the third time he has appeared unto them. And the first two instances, if you remember, it was just a short visit. And they're still probably thinking about, well, he's probably now going to really let us have it for deserting him, for abandoning him, not being there for him. But I find this, that Jesus wanted them to return to the basics. He wanted them to remind them that this was about a relationship that he wants to have. And that's the basics. Jesus sometimes needs to remind us of where it all began. But along the way, we need to be reminded of the basics. And the basics starts with you accepting Christ and that relationship that you have with Christ, who you identify with. There's probably not a lot of talking at first at this dinner. I mean, just think it. Jesus says, come and dine. Well, they didn't ask him who he was. They knew it was Jesus. But there's no conversation recorded here. I think in my own mind, and I might have it wrong, that they're quietly kind of eating and just kind of dealing with the food there wondering, what's going to happen? But there's no rebuke. There's no, well, you guys really messed up. You guys really messed up. I mean, the reality is, just read back through the Gospels. We saw it last week. In last week's message, Jesus told them, he told them that he was going to Jerusalem. He told them that he was going to die, be buried, be raised from the dead. He even tells them in that chapter in Luke chapter 9 that he would one day return. He begins, there's a whole transition that takes place there. He told them that. And then you continue to read through the right up until he went to the cross. He told them again and again and again. They shouldn't have been surprised. But there's no rebuking him there. And I want you to know this too. While the Lord, truly whom the Lord loved, he does chasten. He does remind us of who we are and who he is. But thankfully, God is a merciful and a gracious God. And if it's you that messes up, or even if it's you that's having a hard time forgiving, you never have to worry like you're the bug on the ground that God's going to come and just kind of squash you. He doesn't rebuke them here. Now, he did through their ministry a few times speak with some pretty strong language. Oh, ye of little faith. Right? That was all part of the teaching process. But here they are. They've returned back. This is not where Jesus wanted them to be. He didn't call them to be fishermen. He called them, if you remember, to be fishers of what? Yeah, fishers of men. And it's as if he's more concerned with the fact that you've got another purpose that you're not fulfilling. You've got another reason to live. And so he sits there and he's trying to remind them who they're identifying with. And it's important for us to remind ourselves of that as well. Listen, if somebody deeply hurts you, you can spend your whole life identifying with that person who's hurt you. No, identify with the only one, Jesus, who can help you through the hurt. Get your eyes fixed upon Jesus and not on the person that has hurt you. What is that old saying? What is it? Somebody, maybe you remember. I think I remember it. But bitterness, what is it? Bitterness is like drinking a pint of poison and thinking it's going to hurt the other person. Our old nature, Ethan has been preaching a little bit on the carnal nature. Our old nature, our carnal nature, that thrives on bitterness and anger. We feed it. When we fail to go to the Lord and ask him, and listen, I'm not saying, and I don't want it, some things are easier to forgive than others, amen? There are some things, it is hard. But God has empowered us to live differently and love differently. And there are times we have to repeatedly go. It can be a real struggle. But God has promised to give us the victory. Promise to give us the victory. But if we're not going to ask him to help us, if we're not going to seek his help, if we're not going to remember that, you know, Jesus took us out of, lifted us up out of the muck and mire of sin, and he set our feet upon a rock, and he made in us a new creature. And if we're not going to go back and be reminded of the fact that this is about a relationship that I have with Jesus, Jesus working in and through me, Jesus saying to them, come and dine. What is it in Revelation 3:20? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. That's for believers. And there are times where we're going through that struggle and that problem with unforgiveness, that Jesus stands at the door and he says, listen, open the door in this area of your life and let me help you deal with it. And so here they are, Jesus wanting them to return back to the basics. No rebuke here. And then in verses 15, down through the end, he says this. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, there's been some different opinions of what he meant by this. Personally, I think he meant the fish and fishing. Do you love me more than what you're doing now? And Of course, Peter answers and says, yes, Lord, you know it. And then Peter is reminded that Jesus had charged them to feed, to catch men and not to catch fish. So as we just read through these final verses and are done, what is Jesus doing? He's reaffirming his love for Peter. And he's reaffirming his love for the other apostles. And he says to them, again, three times, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said, yea, Lord, feed my sheep. Verse 17, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And now Peter is grieved. I don't think he's grieved. I wonder, there's probably a couple of thoughts here as well. I don't necessarily know if he's grieved because it's the third time, like he's annoyed. But I'm wondering if Peter isn't grieved here because doesn't the Lord know that I do love him? Doesn't he know? And Peter again, he says, yes, Lord. And Jesus says again to him, well, then go ahead and feed my sheep. And that's the last we hear of Peter fishing. He's gone back to what God had called him to. And I'm just saying that unforgiveness or disillusion or disappointment, Satan will use that to draw us away from doing what God has planned for our life. God's got a plan and purpose for all of us. You know, there are a lot of men who left the ministry just disillusioned and discouraged and disappointed. Because they took their eyes off Jesus. So if men who walk with God or are supposed to be walking with God regularly can do that, then men and women in the pew, they can. It's so easy. I preached a simple message at the men's father-son camp out of Joshua. Important to stay the course. Important to stay close to the Lord. So easy to get off course. Satan will use anything to get us off course. And all you have to do is get a little bit off course, and you know in your mind how that works. You get further and further and further and further away the longer you stay off course. But here's Jesus. Peter was off course. No rebuke. But there's a lot of love there. Come on, let's sit down again and talk. Let's eat. Let's reconsider how this all began. And I don't think it's any... How many times did Peter deny the Lord? Three times. How many times did Jesus ask him if he loved him? Yeah. I don't think there's any... That wasn't an accident. And it just reminded Peter. And Jesus knew. He knew in Peter's heart how Peter felt about it. I'm sure he knew how the apostles felt about it. But he said, listen, let's move forward. Let's move forward. So that's our Bible study with regards to forgiveness and how, in a practical way, you can apply it to your life. Let's pray. Lord, bless the morning worship service. Let it bring honor and glory to you. Thank you for the fact that you're a loving and a forgiving God. And help us, Lord, when we have been hurt, to love and to forgive. We know sometimes, Lord, it is really beyond human reasoning, beyond our human ability. But we know that with you, all things are possible. And we thank you for the victory that we have through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.